Okay, Shalom Aleichem. Hope everyone's doing well. So last week we had spoken about the chosenness of the Jewish people while speaking about the parshios of Avram Avinu and understanding how he was selected, what are the implications of him being selected, and how that manifests itself in terms of the differences between Jews and non-Jews in the current state right here and right now. What I want to speak about now is in terms of individual tafkid, speaking less communally, nationally, but understanding more the hashkacha, about how hashkacha operates with an individual, and part of that detecting in terms of an individual's tafkid in that and how they're judged. So if you look over here, we're looking here in Chelek Beis Perek Gimel of Derech Hashem. We'll read as follows. So we explain the basic, the way this game works is that there's good and there's bad, and we have free will, we have to choose the good. Good, and this way we're able to earn our keep and then be connected to Hashem for eternity. Very good. Right? When you look at the actual props that are on this stage, there's many good things, there's many bad things. You can come to a shir, you could read all types of terrible things. So any proper characteristic you can cultivate. If right now you're being kind and humble at this very moment, so you're displaying a proper mida, you're pursuing tov, and on the opposite, you could be angry, you could be arrogant, and that very mida could be contributing to ra. So there's literally billions and trillions of permutations at every single moment with all the different people. Right, arrogance is one example of bad, humility one example of good, mercy versus cruelty, right, sufficient with what you have and being besimcha with what you have, joy with what you have, so that's a proper good midah, or the opposite, not being satisfied with what you have and not being besimcha with what you have is the equivalent of ra, right? Very interesting. You don't really want to think of those terms. We don't think there's like cruelty, there's like arrogance, and there's not being besimcha bechelko. Right? We normally think that being besimcha bechelko is like a special mile of chassidim and anshei maisa. And if you're not simcha bechelko, you're a normal person in the 21st century walking around with anxiety. But he seems to indicate it, put in the camp of things that are ra. Okay, so all midos, you have to classify them and categorize them, but at the end of the day, they're all going to be either good or bad. Right, so we said the point of this world is that Hashem wants to bestow goodness on his creations, and therefore he wants us to earn our own keep, right, to be independent like Hashem, and that it's not just handed to us, but that we have to earn it. And by doing that, we're like Hashem, we're similar to him in the sense that we're as independent as we could possibly be. And by spiritually, when we're close to him, when we're similar to him, we connect ourselves to him. And therefore, the part of this world is going to be good and bad. He wants to choose good. Now, he says something very interesting. He says, all the different, all the different permutations and possibilities that could fall in within humanity, the different possibilities, he gave... he manifested them, right? He gave them a reality, and everything that comes about with it, right? Something, you don't just have an opportunity to get angry one day. What you have is you have traffic, and you have the guy cut you off, and you have to be late for a meeting, and then you're challenged with anger. So you have to have like a many, many different details that make themselves in, with their way into this world for those good and bad possibilities to emerge. And therefore, engraved within the reality, all the capacities that we're discussing. And for all these things to happen, as we just said, right? It's not just that you're in a video game and there's good and bad, just means just press this button, not that button. You have to have many circumstances. Right, look at that, kulam. Every single one of them. Right? Every single situation is going to be a nisayon, and in some way, shape, or form, one of these possible manifestations of ra are on the surface. It's possible. And you have the opposite possibility to strengthen yourself and not pursue that path. Derech Mashal, for example, so if the stock market wouldn't fall and someone wouldn't be unemployed, we wouldn't have poor people. So you wouldn't have the possibility for the person with some money to demonstrate either his compassion or his cruelty. because you wouldn't have anybody who's in need of it. But every single individual is going to be tested with every single situation. So look at this. So the rich person is going to be tested with his wealth. Right? Whether he's going to demonstrate cruelty on the poor person, or he's going to apply compassion. And the opposite, both parties of this exchange are being tested. And the guy who doesn't have the money, who's out of his job, so he's being tested about how he's going to handle the fact. Is he sufficient with what he has? And as we said before, being besimcha about it, here he says to praise Hashem for what he has, to recognize it, or the opposite, he's going to get all upset. So that's one just manifestation. That's one explanation about how they're both going to be tested in the very same circumstance. There's an additional layers and elements. There's many different layers towards the nisayon. So aside for the decision, will he give over money to the poor person or not? Will he display compassion or will he be cruel? Now, another question, aside for what he'll choose to do, he'll be tested now emotionally. Is he going to experience arrogance? Right. So one is, will he experience arrogance? Another one is, will he pursue all types of nourish of this world and remove himself from serving Hashem? Alternatively, despite the fact that he's wealthy and he's a philanthropist, is he going to be humble? He'll be disgusted with matters of this world. So see how in one thing, one situation, this one guy, the stock market dropped, this guy got employed, unemployed, now he's got to face this wealthier person, he's asking him for money, and there are many layers of nisayon taking place to both of them at the very same time. Look at this idea. He says, almost as if like Hashem had this like package of nisayon that he wanted to bring to this world, and he divvied it up. He split it up. So he took all of humanity and he's like, okay, so here's this like one like steak over here, and I got to slice it up into different ways. And according to what made sense based on his plan for what he's trying to accomplish with this world. Now look what he says here. Once you understand that it's not that there's one nisayon that over and over and over again, right? It's not like you have a job applicant. So each one you're asking them, how would you handle this situation? Right? Each person can either fail or pass the specific question that you keep on asking the same, every applicant, you keep asking them the same question. No, here it's very different. There is a cumulative amount of nisyonos that Hashem wants to bring to this world, each one unique and distinct. And he brings them down and then divvies them up to different people. And therefore, one more time, each person has their very special, unique challenge in the nisayon uvim melchemes yeter, right? Not just the situation, but also in how they battle their internal conflicts. V'hu pkudasa umasau b'olam hazeh. This is a person's mission and the burden that he carries with him. V'tzarech lama bo kefi mashehu. And you have to stand up to it and be successful based on who you are. Meaning you are given a unique mission. You're a sniper on the following army base over here, and you have a certain challenge of a certain terrorist coming over there. That's one type of challenge. And somebody else is on a different battlefront and is in a tank, and he has to overcome a different enemy. I mean, it's a larger battle that we're all part of, but the specific missions are very unique and different. And I like pointing out over here, just nowadays in the 21st century, we like talking about how everyone's special and how everyone's different and unique and distinct. And very often it has a very apologetic note towards it. Basically, since not everybody is outstanding and then people who are mediocre or seem to perform in an under-mediocre way, right, you're always going to have a statistic. So it's the top 90% is the bottom 10%. You're always going to have that. So it seems as if often we kind of make people feel better by saying everyone's special and everyone's different and everyone has a different mission. But that's sometimes very just apologetic for the fact that a person didn't have what's otherwise recognized as an outstanding accomplishment. They're not a Nobel Peace Prize winner. They're not a famous doctor. They're not a Rosh Yeshiva. So you're special also, even though you're only like a normal guy. But you see, the Ramchal here is not coming in an apologetic perspective at all. Right? He's saying straight up, this is the way it's been set up. The way it's set up is that this cumulative nisayon that Hashem wants to put into this world that the human race or the Jewish people are going to overcome. And then it's divvied up into different people, different missions. V'yudnu ma'asa v'midas dino yisparach k'pi ha'masa shenitan lo be'emes. And he says, and you will be judged based on the particular mission that you had. B'chol b'chinosa b'tachlis hadikduk. In all dimensions of your challenge, b'tachlis hadikduk, to the utmost degree. And therefore, it's going to depend very much. One person learns 2 hours a day. Another person learns 2 hours a day. It's going to depend, the actual judgment of that will depend on so many different things. Their upbringing, their family, their responsibilities, the quality of their learning, the intention of their learning, their overall constitution, right? It's not just that, like, here's, you get $100 and you get $100, here, take it. It's, everything is going to be judged subjectively to that person, who they are and what their mission is. V'hinei, look at this mashal that he creates now. Zeh ke'avdei ha-melech. Shekulam omdim l'mashmaso. So you have the a monarchy, you have a king, and he has all the different servants that are all listening to him, people who are in his cabinet, etc. Ubein kulam serach shetishtalam avodas machuso. Cumulatively, all of the people who work underneath the king need to bring about the avoda, what needs to happen for this kingship to operate. Right, he's ruling over the people, and therefore there's all different types of things that need to take place. Food needs to be prepared for all the different employees. Someone's got to figure out the finances. Someone's got to figure out on a military, strategic level, long-term, short-term, etc. There's many different things that need to take place in terms of the overall dominion that he has. V'hu mefaleg, and he splits up. L'kol echa mehem chelek ma. He takes all the different people who are in his government, and he splits up for them, each one of them, a different responsibility. So that cumulatively, it all adds up to take effect what needs to be done. Right? It's not just the fact that, like, if only five more people would learn Torah, so we'd have a million people learning Torah right now, and that would just be amazing. It's not, like, arbitrary, and it's not quantitative. It's about filling out the picture that we need everyone to do their role, and not just because we want everyone to feel special and say everyone has a role. It's that the nature of what Hashem is trying to accomplish requires all these different cast of characters. And upon each one of them is the responsibility to fulfill that which he's been given. Ukefi. Pu'ulato bepkudato. And to the extent when we measure your actions based on your particular mission, so that's the way in which that's the way you're going to be rewarded by the king. I mean, you're not going to be rewarded based on somebody else's mission. You're not going to be rewarded based on just quantitatively how much of this otherwise good stuff did you do. It's to what extent is this consistent with the particular mission that you have. The specific details to know right here, right now, which one of us is given which responsibility, we can't necessarily access that. It's beyond us. But we have confidence that Hashem, in his ultimate brilliance and wisdom, when he set things up, it was done in an exact perfect way. Let's go back a little bit here. This is a commentary here by the Eis Lassos of Avram Baum. And he mentions a very important point here. Just give me a moment just to bring this up here. So look here in the note here, Yudzayin. Ukdei lahavin etzeh. Narchiv es hamashal nitzer la'atzmeinu. So here in his commentary, he says, imagine, let's just illustrate this a little bit further. This mashal that the Ramchal gave us in terms of understanding that there are different people all operating and all working for the same king. Shelo'uso melech yish eved echad shepkudasu lishmor pesach be'arurus ha'asusin. Right? There's one person who's responsible for the horses. And there's another person who's head of the military, who's in charge of sieging a certain city. Hine, im shomer ha-pesach yishama shlagan al ha-melech nipnei oivoi avoda gdola. So let's say the person who's in charge of the horse stables, he hears, listen, fighting for the king is something very important. Objectively, that is something that's considered to be true. And he goes, he leaves the stable, he leaves the horses. He says, I want to go fight. Fighting for the king is objectively considered to be a very high endeavor. Sorry, this is not clear at all. He says, the writing over here. He says, for sure he's not going to get rewarded. Ela onesh. Right, if he left his responsibility of taking care of the horses and he goes to fight, he's not going to get rewarded. He's going to get punished. Then nimshal pasha, right? The comparison to real life is relatively obvious. Shemashu maise tov avoda gdola lokei yisrael gavei adam echad yuchalios lo tov gavei adam acher she'ein zub kudaso. What for one person, a certain act, a certain involvement and engagement is considered to be a good thing in terms of his service of Hashem. For somebody else, that's not their mission, engaging in such a task is not good. The opposite. He's not just that he's not going to get rewarded for doing that. He's going to get punished for deviating from what his actual mission is. There are a number of conclusions that we should take from this idea. Number one. Number one is a tremendous humility. We all like to say you can't judge other people. We have to be kind. Wait till you get into someone else's shoes to be able to measure them. So Rabban was pointing out, according to this Ramchal, unless you're like the Arizal, you have no way of actually judging anybody. We don't know what his responsibility is. You see, somebody who's not doing something that we would say is otherwise very lofty and engaged and very high, right? He's not what we would consider to be a big Talmud Chacham and engaged in all types of actions that we otherwise consider to be the most important, but we don't know what his actual responsibility is. It could be one of his life missions, and this really gets to a larger issue in terms of Gilgulim and the Neshamos in terms of their different responsibilities. But let's say, for example, he's not meant to wash the horses. He's meant to take care of other people in this world, his family, his elderly parents. So when we say, well, he doesn't really learn all that much, he learns like an hour a day. But the question is, what was his responsibility? What was his mission? Was he faithful to his mission or not? You can't necessarily gauge it based on how many pairs of tzitzis he's wearing and how many mesechtos he's finishing. Number two. She efsha lechakos be'avodas Hashem klal, lechakos with a cook. He says, you can't imitate other people when it comes to serving Hashem. Ki la'olam mashakol echad tzarech la'asos shayach raklo. When you see somebody else doing something, you should not be imitating them. Because they have one mission, you have a different mission. Omam shayach l'olmon l'achrim. You can learn from other people, right? You can take underlying principles. K'mashal ba'al kiyosk ha'kadon sh'shem ha'sich ha'shnei gbiru g'dol machlifim etos b'inyan ha'asakim. One guy who's got a small little grocery store, he says, I'll give you a mashal, who sees two people who have major supermarkets having a discussion. You hear them talking, the owners of Publix and Winn-Dixie talking, for sure you're going to be able to gain and learn a lot from their conversation. But you can't just blindly just follow, mimic, imitate the actions that they're doing. You've got your small little grocery store. They've got these humongous supermarkets. You can learn, but you can derive, but it has to be done with seichel. You don't just imitate the actions that other people are doing. To imitate someone like a monkey, says, he did this, I'm doing this. Hear that a certain tzaddik, a certain gadol, did a certain action. Say, I'm going to do that action. Said, it doesn't work that way. Number one, it might necessarily be successful at all, because it maybe is for him, but not for you. And number two, either way, you're still deviating from your actual mission. So you can learn. You can learn from others. Learning requires degree of das and understanding how to apply the underlying ideas of what other people are going for to yourself. But to imitate, to mimic, he says, that doesn't make any sense at all. Because if everyone has a different mission, mimicking somebody means you're not doing what you're supposed to be doing. The third takeaway, right? And the takeaway number one was you can't judge other people because you don't really know what their mission is. Number two is you shouldn't be blindly imitating people because you have a different mission than them, and therefore your actions might necessarily should be the same action that this person's doing. And number three, shedarkei hatikon and ishios legamre umashu akum bishvil adam echad yuchal yos hayosher be'atzmo bishvil hasheni. Right? We each have an individualized path in terms of what our tikkun, what our purpose is in this world. You can't be looking at what for other people. It could be something is considered to be corrupt for other people, and for you, it's perfect. And therefore, you can't be looking for other people to see if it's even relatively correct. On a pasuk in Mishlei, look at this. Someone who goes in his straight path is fearful of Hashem. What does it mean that you go fearful in your path? You have to go in the way that is appropriate for you. People's paths are not the same. That's why some person falls prey to one sin versus another. Therefore, you see that in this area, I have to create special boundaries. But somebody else doesn't require those boundaries. Etc. What does it mean, holach b'yosher? You go in your straight path, b'derech hayosher shalom, the path that is straight for you. Af al pi shebe'emi abriyosi ra. Even though for other people, that would be bad. Ken yodim mashu terech. They don't know what you need. Look at this line. This is what this conclude. Av v'chein holach b'yosher. Who yereshem? Why is you follow your own beat? And obviously, we mean with under the guidelines of Torah and Torah authorities. Why not just make up on your own that you're going to start following biblical law, right? We're all talking about within the overall realm of proper Torahic practices. But look at this. Why is it that if I do something which is appropriate for me, I'm Yorei Hashem, I'm fearful of Hashem? But the point is, he goes on to say, you're not fearful of other people. If when you do something, you're concerned that this is not conventional, this is not the convergent thing to be doing, and therefore maybe I shouldn't be doing this thing, well, then you're not Yorei Hashem. You're Yorei Basar V'dam. You're afraid of what other people are thinking. But someone who's willing to go against the tide and do what's correct for him, now obviously we mean, again, only in accordance with proper Torah laws. We're not making up our own religions over here. But after however a person goes through it, a cheshbon, a nefesh, consulting, etc., this is the right thing for you, then you're Yorei Hashem when you go your own way, even though it's despite other people. You're not Yorei other people. You're not Yorei Basar V'dam. You're Yorei Hashem. And therefore, you follow what Hashem wants you to do, not what other people is the norm for them. So I hope you enjoyed this perspective. I think it's something that we are surrounded by. It's very much part of our culture that everyone's different and everyone's unique and distinct. But here, really giving it a metaphysical background and understanding, and how it's part of our tikkun, our purpose in this world.